Hey, welcome back to Extra Feature Interviews. And today we have something different. We have a crime thriller. We haven't had one of these on Extra Feature Interviews. The film is called Olympia in the Obscura, and I have Jason Whitted. I don't know if I said it right.
It's what?
Totally.
It's Whited.
Whited. I'm sorry. I did try. We all make mistakes.
Not a problem.
So before I even get into the film and discuss, I read the clips on the bottom, like you had a little intro to your film, and you guys have things like you have no budget on this film.
Right. Yeah, absolutely zero budget. It really came together from the support from, you know, our crew, our team that we had built up, but also a lot of friends and other people who were interested in what we were doing. They could tell that we were really trying to put as much effort into it as possible, and they were willing to do what they could.
Okay, before we get, again, I want to ask some questions just with that. So you had no catering budget, no film budget, no nothing?
No, nothing. No,
wow.
Nothing. It was whatever the writer and director, David Caulfield, you know, it was just whatever he could get out of his own pocket, anything we could get donated from places. One of the locations that we shot at was actually in a warehouse about an hour away from most of us. And we were able to build a set inside there for all the office scenes.
Okay, I know where you are
and
now.
And we got to use that space for free. And the materials that we used to build the set with were donated as well.
That's awesome.
So we had a lot of assistance that way.
Okay. I want to go back to this. You're the star of the picture, then. So you have no writing and you didn't direct it then.
No, I'm just the lead actor in the show.
Oh, wow.
And I'm also credited as a producer with the film. I was able to pull a lot of strings. I had some resources that I was able to bring, different items we needed for sets, a little bit of costuming, some things like that. So I was able to help out quite a bit.
That's awesome. I've never had a write. Usually when I have somebody on the show, usually they're the director or writer. So this is neat having an actor so I can ask them different questions.
Yeah, absolutely.
I really try not to do a lot of research on the film because I want you guys to bring it to me. Does that make sense? Like, I want to bring it out of you.
Yeah,
why not on an Amazon platform or a Vimeo platform or just dumped on YouTube? That's what I thought was strange.
Yeah, so his original plan for everything was we were releasing this as a web series.
Okay.
And they had released it in episodes. I think it was broken down into 6 episodes. And they were releasing 5 of those for free on YouTube for everyone to watch. Then we held a premiere, if you will, in Olympia, Washington. So anybody who had been following along and anybody new could just come to that premiere and view it as a film and see the final installment of it. And so, sorry.
No, it's all good. I just want to go back to a couple of things you said earlier. There's no budget. So how did you guys eat lunch or eat breakfast or eat dinner? You just brought your own bag?
No, not too often did we have to bring our own. Again, our director, a couple other of the producers that we had. One of our other producers is also our cinematographer and director of photography. And, you know, they just pulled money from their own pockets when they could. Fortunately, I like to cook, so anytime I could, I would actually pitch in and try to do some things that would feed a good sized crew of us. But we really became a family and just try to help each other out because we really were enjoying what we were doing.
That's awesome. I think that's great. I've never heard that before. There's a whole crew coming together like that.
Yeah, it was just a great experience. You know, not too often when you're on the sets do you create more than one or two relationships where you know you're going to be friends with somebody for a long time. And we were very fortunate on this one. We all got along really well and really came together to make things happen.
So are all the people involved in the film, the actors, your friends, or some of these people you didn't know ahead of time?
I knew none of the people ahead of time. I live in Aberdeen, Washington, which is an hour away from Olympia. And most everybody is from Olympia itself or just around the Olympia area. So we really kind of came together from a few different spots.
That's great. I think that's great. So how were you approached to be in the film?
I actually found an ad for the auditions for the film online. I believe it might have been through Facebook. And several other people had seen it too and sent me the message. And I thanked them and let them know that I had already submitted for it. I went to the audition, and it was actually only, not too much later that when the auditions had been held, did they contact me again and offer me the role of Colin, and I immediately accepted. Now, it did take us 2 years to film, and I had no clue it would take that long. Had I known that in the beginning, I don't know that I would have signed up, but I am very glad that I did because I had so much fun doing it.
Uh-huh. Okay, that explains some questions I would have had on the length of the film. Because, I mean, the special effects shots look like they would have taken a while. It looks like you used a lot of locations at times. Like, the cafe scene does not look like anything else. Your office doesn't look like anything else. The bridge scene at the end, I have a lot of questions about whenever you're ready.
Okay.
The cave, I have questions about.
I didn't hear the last part.
Oh, sorry, the cave?
Oh, the tunnel?
The tunnel, okay, the tunnel, sure.
Train tunnel, yeah. So, to go back to the cafe, that was a coffee shop in downtown Olympia called Cafe Love. It is a different business now, but we were on location there. The office scenes, like I mentioned just a little bit ago, was a set that we had built inside of a warehouse. The Chehalis Trail is actually the Chehalis Trail in the Olympia area. So we were on location for that in a few different spots, so we had a bit of driving to do. And the tunnel, I never actually went to the tunnel. Other times, other members of the crew did go physically to the tunnel and shot in that area. A couple of times they had actors there. Other times they just shot back plates and did green screen with the tunnel.
I was wondering that because, I mean, they do a lot of special effects shots when you're in the tunnel. So it's like,
I definitely had some studio time. In Olympia, there is a community television group, and there is space there to rent. So we did use the studio several times to film a lot of green screen.
So, okay, but if you're saying you're renting it, then that means there must have been some kind of budget for this film.
Well, when we say there's no budget, there was never a specified amount of money at any time set aside saying, here's the budget we have to work with.
Okay.
It was kind of pay as we went.
Okay, that's fine. I accept that. Okay, I'm going to read some of my notes. You have a lot of close-ups in the film. I guess the cinematographer was looking for that in the shots?
Yeah, you know, I don't really know a lot of the background on why he had so many of those in there, but, we're happy to get the screen time.
Yeah, no problem. I got a question. When you're doing your speakovers,
yes,
at times it seemed to me the film that you were dubbing your lines. Like, I think you said them on screen and then redubbed them in. Is that wrong of me to look at that, or was that done on purpose?
I'd have to It wasn't that long ago that I rewatched the film, but I'd have to look again. I know that the language in it is very similar, so there would be during the voiceovers, I think you would hear very, if it's not being repeated, it is very similar dialogue. And I don't know if the writer intended that to make sure that his message was coming across, or if there was some other factor behind that, or if that just happened to be the way it worked out.
No problem. I know you're the actor, so I'm just trying to questions I am looking at. What drew you to the project, I guess?
I have been trying to break into film more. I have a community theater background, and been in the last couple of years been trying to do a lot more in the film industry. And so when I saw the audition for this, first it was just, well, here's something to go audition for, but I really appreciate the noir. I like those crime thrillers, and and who doesn't want to go on screen and be a detective and lower their voice? We always joked about me sounding like Batman too much.
Are you doing so it? I can see that. Yeah, I'll give you that, but that's okay. It works for the film for me.
Right. I appreciate that type of film, and that type of flawed character was really appealing.
How did you feel about the sound effects then after watching the film? Because obviously there were no sound effects on set. It was all put in afterwards.
Right. I thought at the time, some of those scenes, I'm like, wow, is this really working? Is this how it's going to be? And then once the sound effects were in place, I'm like, okay, I feel so much better about that scene now. So, definitely sound effects lent so much more to what was happening in that.
Has this film opened up avenues for you anywhere or anything?
It has. Well, it certainly helped build my resume, which is part of my goal for that. Our group, Northwest Film Asylum, has after going from Olympia Obscura, has done another short film called Training Grounds, which won an award in the LA Film Awards for best film.
That's great.
And now that actually got noticed by somebody else who was interested in working with me, who I will be working with sometime soon, either here in August or in September. I'll be going up a little further north from here around the Seattle area and doing a small role in a feature film called Beloved Beast.
That's great.
So, yeah, definitely my plan is coming together for me and not trying to jump in head first, get some momentum going and then slowly keep that going. So I'm really looking forward to that.
That's phenomenal. I think that's great news. To go from
Thank
this
you.
To that to that, that's awesome. That to me just would make me so happy, I guess.
Okay. Definitely. And the thing I'm really looking forward to now is Northwest Film Asylum has wrapped shooting a film called Dead Faith, which is being scored currently. And as soon as it's done, I'm not sure if we're going to release that right away online for people to see. It is definitely going to be submitted to different film festivals, and we feel really good about this one. It's a end of days story, a little bit of a zombie feel in there, although we don't use that term. We say infected.
Fine. I accept that.
So, yeah, and but lots of good stuff in store for that, so we're excited about that as well.
That's great. I think everything you're telling me is really positive. I think that's wonderful news. I would love to tell people I'm doing all these cool things. Okay, can we go back
Thank
to the bridge
so
scene that you fought? Shot?
Oh, absolutely.
Because that's my probably, I think, the best shot in the film. I don't know if you feel that way, but I do think the cinematographer planned that one out. Now, is it green screen that whole thing, or are you actually on that bridge?
Okay, so the bridge scene, we are actually out on a bridge.
Okay.
However, it was a regular bridge that you drive across. We changed that to railroad tracks.
Hold on. So, I mean, it's just a regular driving bridge? It doesn't look like that at all. It actually looks like a train bridge to me.
Yes. Uh-huh. Yeah, wow. It's actually a... It's known as the High Steel Bridge. It's in Shelton, Washington, and there's a park area up there, and it's somewhat narrow, but you can just squeeze a couple cars in at a time. And yeah, we went out there and did our stuff, and had our drone operator out there and our other cameras.
Aha, uh-huh, that's what it is. Okay. It's a drone shot I like. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, it was great. It was fun.
And
got to learn something new with that.
Yeah, the part with your bell that sure is green screened.
Oh, yes. Yeah. That was actually two other locations were used in order to get the effect so that I could be hanging from the tracks and then pull myself up.
Interesting. Okay. So I'm noticing pieces together here and there. Okay. I have a weird question. Maybe just, you know, when the woman gets shot at the end of the film?
Yes.
And you're holding her body. He fires four shots.
Yeah.
Is he that bad a shot? He doesn't. He, the person firing the bullet, Adam? No, that's not right. Henry? Henry is shooting you. He's a bad shot, is he not, or just didn't hit you?
He's a bad shot. He's most of his victims that he had killed before were all knife wounds. They've been heather throats cut.
Yeah, you say that because I'm kind of like, I don't know. Maybe it's just me the way you were shot. I mean, you're fine. You only see a tiny bit of her shoulder. I'm like, that's a pretty good shot to hit the thing. But I thought that was weird.
Yeah, I think he lucked out.
Yeah, I just thought that was fun. I'm like, okay, I got to give some suspension of disbelief to this.
Right.
And you're pretty covered in blood in a lot of this film.
I am, you know, and that was new for me, too. Oddly enough, I didn't mind it. I don't know what that says about me, but, you know, whatever.
It's all good. I just thought it was funny. I'm like, oh, there's some more blood. I was like, okay. I was just laughing because I mean, it's indie film. I accept a lot of things I wouldn't accept in regular film, obviously.
Yeah. And I've
always found the color of blood always interests me that they can never get it right. Nobody can. I don't think any film really gets blood color right.
Yeah, it's always too bright or too dark.
Yeah. And in yours, I was like, wow, that's a lot of blood, especially when you the guy beats you up. I'm like, he should be dead. Just pouring down your neck. And like, I just thought, like, well, that's a lot of blood, guys. Like, that's pretty funny.
Yeah. Yeah, and we had some of those thoughts, too, after the fact. I'm like, you know, during, we were like, oh, is this too much? No, I think this is okay. And then afterward, we're like, yeah. We learned our lesson.
Well, I think, yeah, because in that scene, you have a lot of blood. In the end, her blood was perfect.
Mm-hmm.
When the woman died, I thought that was perfect. Okay, I got that. So, I mean, I thought you guys were learning as you went. At least I felt you were as the film progressed. And now you tell me it took 2 years. That explains a lot more.
Oh yes, yeah. We definitely were learning as we went, and you know, definitely came out of that so much richer for learning all those things.
Because I think cinematography gets better as like I love that end shot with the drone, but I don't think the same guy that started that film could have shot that scene. If that makes sense, like I think he got better. Because I find the film opens up a lot more as it gets further along. Like when you hit the trailer, I find he's backed up the camera. I find it's a lot more backing up later on. The close-ups are gone as much, which I much preferred. It gets a bigger sense of the world, if that makes sense. Like the cafe shot was a little too close for me. I don't know, maybe you didn't feel that. And like even when you're doing the honey shots, I feel that I went a little bit more back away. I have a little bit more of a feeling of what I'm seeing.
Yeah, definitely some good points there. And I feel the same about toward the end of the film, how it was opened up much more. Yeah, and But and in that respect, lent itself to the story. So, yeah. You know, you got progression in more ways than one, so we like that.
Yeah, sorry, I'm just asking these questions. I hope I'm not putting, I'm not trying to put it down in any way. I'm just asking questions what I see.
Oh, no, no, not at all. Yeah, I appreciate it.
Okay, sorry, just bouncing these things off you. Why did you guys go from black and white to color?
In the beginning, I think they were discussing whether to do the film in color or to do the whole film in black and white. There were some other decisions made when to use this, and they kind of went with the theme that anytime there was any violence started against Colin, that they would go black and white.
I noticed that they would fade back on them. Like, oh, okay. I wanted to know what the choice was.
And part of that was a nod to film noir, you know, kind of paying homage to the older detective shows, you know, being in black and white. Two, there were some other decisions made regarding that, as just due to some visual things that they felt really popped a lot more, whether it was in black and white or whether it was in color, and they thought it would look better one way or the other, and then chose to go with that.
Okay, that's good. Have you worked with this crew again, I guess, on your future projects? Because it looks like I'd say
I have. So Northwest Film Asylum is the group, which is David Caulfield, who is the writer and director of Olympia and Obscura. It's also David Goodman, who is a cinematographer. He's also a writer and a director. We had another producer named Gary Holland, who was part of the group for Olympia and Obscura. He's had to step away for a while. And I'm on as a producer now with the group. As I mentioned, we did shoot our short film called Training Grounds, which originally was intended as just a workshop, because that was something we filmed in about 3 or 4 hours one day, and just to get some people, if they wanted to learn the technical side or that sort of thing, then we're starting to try to do these workshops, but we ended up submitting it to some film festivals. We, as I mentioned, won Best Film for the LA Film Awards, and then also more recently, just within the last couple weeks, in Seattle, we were an official selection for STIFF, which is the Seattle Transmedia Independent Film Festival, or International Film Festival.
Are you going to try for
TIFF? We had a really good showing there.
Are you going to try for TIFF?
I am not. David Goodman, who I mentioned, has submitted to several places, and I'm not aware of all the festivals that he submitted to. I know he's submitted to several, so I'm just kind of sitting back and seeing what comes up next for that. Then our most current project is the Dead Faith project, which as soon as it's done being scored, then it'll start being submitted for festivals as well.
Will you be traveling with the film?
If I can, I like to. I did go to Seattle. I'm about 2 hours away from Seattle, so I was able to make it to that on a couple of different nights. So anything I can go to, I definitely try my best to be there.
Well, I live in Toronto, or just outside, so I expect to see you in Toronto is what I'm trying to say.
Oh, okay.
If you make TIFF, I will come out to you.
Yeah, I never say never. That's a little bit further of a distance for me, but you know, if the opportunity is there and if everything is you know, if it allows me to travel, then I will.
That's great. See, we're all friendly in Canada, right? You know that. We don't have snow.
Oh, I actually have many friends from Canada, and oddly enough, met them in Memphis, Tennessee. So.
Oh, that's funny. Yeah, Canadians in Memphis is kind of funny. It's like Canadians in Alabama. We kind of think we get strange. We're like, where are we?
I met them because not only do I act, but I also do an Elvis tribute act.
Oh, wow.
So that's actually how I met them. It was Elvis week in Memphis, and I was back there for a competition. I've been back several times. I always get to catch up with my friends from all over there. So that's always a good time.
That's fascinating. That's absolutely. You got Tweed has an Elvis festival near my cottage. We do have. They have one.
Okay, I think I've heard of that. And
I've actually never been, but they do have one. I know they do.
Oh wow! And I do know there's a really big one in Collingwood.
Yes, which is north of me. Yes.
Okay. Yeah. They just had that one too. Now on. My side over here in Penticton, they have an Elvis festival as well.
Oh, look at that. So you're rocking. You could just do your acting one day and go to Elvis the next day. So I get it.
Exactly. I haven't made it to the festival in Penticton yet, but I'm only about 8 hours away from there.
So I'm going to go into your Elvis thing for a couple minutes here, if that's okay.
Sure.
Do you have a full Elvis repertoire, or do you pick 5 songs? Do you have 10 songs, or how does that work?
I have many songs in my repertoire. I do tend to stick to the 70s era of Elvis, so the jumpsuits, maybe even casual attire. I will go back because of my physique. It lends itself more to the 70s era, but I will do some 60s, like a lot of the movie songs and even some of the singles. From the 60s. I reserve anything from the 50s is more or less reserved just singing for fun. But definitely, I definitely practice all the eras just to keep in tone with what I do. I traveled to Memphis, Tennessee many times. I'm a world championship finalist. A few times over, and I've competed in about 3 different competitions now in Memphis. But traveling there ended up becoming a Elvis family reunion because I made so many friends from all over the world because of Elvis. It's a week long event back there. And,
oh, wow, I had no idea.
You have the competitions, plus just all the festivities going on at Graceland and all the other businesses that get involved with Elvis Week.
Now I have to answer the hard question. Have you seen all the Elvis films?
I have them all.
Oh, wow. So you're way ahead. I've seen a good chunk of them. I can't say I've seen them all, but I've seen a good chunk. So, wow.
Yeah, I have all of those and lots of... the live performances that they have sold. YouTube is a great device as well because you can see a lot of footage on there that normally you wouldn't get to see because you don't have access to a lot of copies of videos. But times have changed and we're able to get a lot of more of that in our homes and able to study. So. It's just like a textbook, we're watching that and trying to keep Elvis's music going.
That's awesome. I'm going to have to ask for your favorite Elvis song, but you knew that was coming.
Oh, yeah. It's actually a cover of a Tom Jones song that Elvis did and called I'll Never Fall in Love Again. I like that song. That's probably that's my favorite song to perform as well.
Oh, so you do that one live then?
Oh, yes.
That must be great.
Most of the time when I'm doing my shows, I'm using professionally done background tracks. There are actually companies out there who specialize or only do recreations of Elvis's music.
Oh wow!
And actually, there's some people now out of Canada, over on the in British Columbia, who are releasing some phenomenal music. They're doing a live band and recreating it note for note.
That's pretty cool. I see that happening more and more with musicians. They do it for wrong. We have, I'm trying to say that, of course, what they call it, classic album live. They do note for note on different albums here all the time. So that's great. That's fabulous. Well, look at you, man. You're an actor. You're an Elvis impersonator. You're a detective in movies. You're rocking. So,
yeah, I'm trying to be a little bit of everything. So, you know, one of those things has got to pay off.
Well, I hope it does for you. I do always ask a couple of questions at the end of every interview. I need your favorite film is what I always want to know.
Ooh, my favorite film?
You can give me five, you can give me two, you can give me one, you can give me ten, whatever makes you happy.
I'll pick one, and because I'm really partial to it, and that's Goodfellas.
That's a fabulous pick. There's nothing wrong with Goodfellas.
Yeah, I do enjoy Tombstone, but maybe for a few different reasons.
Tombstone's fabulous.
But Goodfellas, Tombstone, those are probably my top two.
Oh, wow. Now, I have a question. Okay, it's a heavy night. You have some friends just dropping over. You're not going to put on Goodfellas 9 times out of 10. You can put on a fun, junky film. What's it going to be?
Wow. Probably something like Nacho Libre or Dumb and Dumber.
Yeah, that's what I'm looking for. And I only have one last question for you. This is an easy one. You're at the movie theater. What do you buy?
I'm pretty traditional that way, so I usually get my diet soda, and I get my popcorn with lots of butter.
There you go. See? Is there anything I haven't touched on you wanted to go over or anything?
No. I think we covered everything. You know, we talked Olympia Obscura, talked Training Grounds, and Dead Faith, and... Yeah, I hope everybody enjoys the films if they get a chance to see them, and I hope they check out Northwest Film Asylum on Facebook and Twitter, and just kind of pay attention to that and see what we're up to.
Great. Thank you for your time. I really enjoyed it.
Oh, you're very welcome. I really appreciate you having me.
Thank you.